the Bible to the book of Romans, chapter number 10. Romans chapter number 10. Romans chapter number 10. Start with, hold your finger there. We're going to do a little Bible study tonight. It's always good to study the Bible. Amen. Romans chapter number 10. And then I want you to flip over to the book of Isaiah chapter 53. Very familiar passage of Scripture. Isaiah chapter 53. Romans chapter number 10. Again, read your Romans chapter 10, verse number 1. Paul, of course, writing to the church of Rome, says, "Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. For Moses describeth the righteousness which is of the law, that the man which doeth these things shall live by them. But the righteousness which is of faith speaketh on this wise, say not in thine heart, who shall ascend into heaven? That is, to bring Christ down from heaven, from above. Or who shall descend into the deep? That is, to bring up Christ again from the dead. But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is, the word of faith which we preach. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved." Hallelujah. You'll write hallelujah right there in the Bible. Say amen. Or a big amen or something. Underline it, circle it. If thou believest in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the Scripture saith, "Whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved."
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. That does away with capitalism. Amen. "Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord," there's not a select few, there's not an elect group that can only be saved. It's whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord. How shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, "How beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things." But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah saith, "Lord, who hath believed our report?" So that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. I'll stop reading verse number 17. Let me back up to verse 16 and read that one more time. In verse 16, "But they have not all obeyed the gospel, for Isaiah saith, Lord, who hath believed our report?" It's a question. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for the privilege you've given us this afternoon, Lord, to be in your house. Thank you, Lord, for your love. Thank you for your grace, Lord, your mercy. Thank you for your loving kindness, your righteousness, Father, your holiness. Lord, and Lord, just the privilege tonight to come to you in prayer. Thank you, Lord, for such a good day and a good week. You've blessed us with thus far. Thank you, Lord, for the good testimonies we've heard tonight. Thank you for touching each one, Lord, that's testified tonight. For touching Mr. Lemay, Lord, in the heart, the good report she gets from the doctor. Thank you for touching Brother W.R. and bringing through his test today. And all things are well there. Thank you, Lord, for that. I pray, Lord, that you continue to touch and bless others that are sick in the hospital. And Lord, just hang your hand upon each one of those. And Lord, we pray tonight, most of all, that you speak to our hearts. Help us, Lord, I pray, in this time that we have together, illuminate our minds. Dear Father, I pray, open up our hearts and our minds of understanding. Illuminate this mind, Father, guard my lips. Heaven, Lord, say over that that's well pleased in your sight. Father, we thank you, praise you for what's accomplished. In Jesus' loving name, we pray and ask these things. So, amen and amen. Now, if you turn with me, open the place there in Romans chapter number 10, and turn with me to the book of Isaiah, chapter number 53. Book of Isaiah, chapter 53. It's amazing how the Bible explains itself, and the Bible does not contradict itself. Amen? Isn't that amazing? A lot of people like to say that the Bible contradicts itself, and the Bible's confusing. The Bible's not confusing if you know the author. Amen? He guides you into all truth. That's what he says, and that's what he does. So we notice in Romans chapter 10, I'm just going to read it to you real quickly. You don't have to turn back there. But in Romans chapter 10, verse number 16, the verse there, verse 16 says, but they have not obeyed the gospel, for Isaiah, which is Isaiah, amen, saith, Lord, who hath believed our report? Then come with me to Isaiah chapter 53, and verse number 1, here is Isaiah saying those very words. He says in verse number 1, who hath believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness, and when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief, and we are hid as it were our faces from him. He was despised and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. Now Isaiah begins this question, or begins this chapter with a question, and that question is, he says unto the Lord, who hath believed our report? And then we find in the book of Romans that same question, who hath believed our report? Well, first of all, what is the report? What is he talking about? What he's talking about, as he explains that in the book of Isaiah, he is explaining the Lord Jesus Christ and him dying for the sins of mankind. Amen. That's the report. The gospel is the report. Amen? The death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the report. And he says, who hath believed our report? And then he says in verse number 1, and to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? And so that also is a question, and that's answered in the book of Romans. We go to Romans chapter number 10, we find the answer of that. To whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? Who can be saved? Who can hear the report and who can accept that report? Who can believe that? Paul answers that when he's writing to Rome, to the church in Rome, he answers that question. And he says, for whosoever, verse number 13, shall call upon the name of the Lord, shall be saved. And so to answer that question that Isaiah says, or Isaiah has, to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed, is to everyone. Amen. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord. So it's not just the nation Israel that can be saved. Amen. It's every nation, tongue and kindred, that can be saved. It's everybody that is on the face of this earth can be saved. There's a heresy, if I may use that word. There's a heresy that's out there in our day that says that only Israel can be saved. There's also the heresy that says that only the church can be saved during this dispensation. And that is not Bible. Amen? That's not taught in Scripture. The Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord, whether Jew or Gentile, whether Greek or whatever. Amen? The Jew first, the gospel is delivered to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. And so there's no limitations there to whom can call upon the name of the Lord. And then it begins to talk about this report. I'm going to just share with you just a few minutes tonight about that report. And I said I'll try to be brief, and I'll do my best to be brief. But he asked that question, and I've pondered on this all week. In the last 3 days, I've pondered on this question, who hath believed our report? And I get to thinking about that, and you think about that tonight. Whenever you try to witness to someone and talk to them about the Lord, and you think about that report that you're giving them, you're telling them that there's a God somewhere up beyond the clouds, or supposed to be, a supernatural being that's up beyond the clouds, that had a son. Well, wait a minute, let me back up. That God above the clouds loved the world so much, loved mankind so much, and we created it. And yet he loved it so much that he had a son, and he gave his son to die for the sins of that world. Does that sound like something that most people could comprehend and believe? Who's going to believe our report? That sounds like you've lost your noodle. Amen. It sounds like you're fantasizing about some things. For this God that loved the world so much and gave His only Son, the only one that He had, He did that out of love, and He did that so that these people wouldn't die and go to a hell that was created for the wicked angels and the devil. Who's going to believe that report? Listen, I know we hear that all the time, and we are used to that because we're believers. Amen. Who's going to believe that? That sounds like you're crazy. You're fantasizing things. You're making this stuff up as you go. Amen. Who's going to believe our report? That's a good question, isn't it? Y'all ever think about that? Who's going to believe you? Well, if you don't get saved, you're going to die and go to hell. Well, who said that? Well, God said that. Well, who's God? He's a supernatural being that created all this thing. Well, how do you know that? Well, science teaches us different. Science teaches us that we came from tadpoles and cesspools, and we banged into existence. The only problem with that is we banged. Amen. We don't bang into existence anymore. They say that the reason why we don't bang into existence anymore is because the DNA is lying dormant in the outer space somewhere. Lord only knows. It makes more faith believe that. That's true. But who's going to believe our report? Amen. Whenever you think about that, if you talk about how that they can be saved, then we talk about the place that we're being saved to, not just the place that we're saved from, which is the devil's hell before you burn for eternity. And they try to get you to prove that. How do you know that hell is real? Look, the Holy Spirit has said it's not real, that hell is here on earth. How do you know that this place is hell? How do you know that's real? Well, there's been a lot of scientists that to prove that hell is real, because the temperatures in the center of the earth, they get so hot. And they talk about, I forget how many thousands of miles they drilled down and found out that it began to melt the tips of the drill bits because it's so hot. I don't know all that true or not, but it sounds so far-fetched. Well, who's going to believe that report? Well, a lot of people do. But hell is a real place because the Bible says so. Amen. And then we understand that to be a lake of fire. And there's proof that there is such a thing. Whenever the volcanoes explode, the lake of fire comes up out of the center of the earth. Amen. So we know scientifically it's a good possibility that it's real. Biblically, we know that it's real. Let me borrow your mind for just a few minutes. Amen. I'm not going out on too strong of a limb. I promise you I'll pull it back in here in just a minute. But if you think about these things that we're talking about, we're saved from a place called hell where you burn forever and ever and ever if you don't believe in this man called Jesus Christ. And then we talk about the place that we're going to. Well, it's a city that's got gates of pearl and it's got streets of gold. Amen. And it sounds like you're fantasizing again. Amen.
Amen.
Well, you just have to see it to believe it. Who's ever seen it? The Bible says, no eyes seen, ears not heard, what the Father has in store for the believer. Amen.
Amen.
Well, how do you know that that's a place that the streets are paved with gold and the gates of pearl? And how do you know that there's a mansion up there? Where do you get all that information from? Can you prove that? Well, it sounds like that we make this stuff up. Now, y'all be with me now. If the lost individual hears these things, it sounds like something that's coming from a first grade fairy tale. But these people think that they're going to go up in the air, and there's going to be a city up there somewhere, and they're going to sit around a table, and they're going to eat. And this Christ that they talk about, He's going to feed them. He's going to gird Himself and feed them because He loves them. And then they're going to eat like they ain't no tomorrow. Hallelujah. Don't nobody shout right there. They're going to eat like they ain't no tomorrow. But then they're going to come back to this earth. And then they're going to be here for 1,000 years and rule and reign with this Christ.
Yeah.
Who's going to believe our report? It sounds like we're crazier than a rodent. Y'all with me? Amen. It sounds like we're nuts. And the world looks at us like we're nuts. And then they're trying to change our DNA and give us vaccines and stuff to make us change our way of thinking because they think we're crazy. I'm speaking truth tonight. Amen. I am speaking absolute truth. Bill Gates thinks we've lost our mind.
Yes, sir.
I think Bill Gates has lost his mind.
Yeah.
There we go. One eye for eye. Amen. So as I studied the scripture, I was thinking on that thought, who's going to believe our report? Isaiah asked the same question to the Lord. Who's it going to be revealed to? Who's going to believe this report that there was a Messiah? That there was now listen, Isaiah begins to lay this thing out. You think what I said sounds a little crazy. Listen to what Isaiah said. Isaiah said, for he shall grow up before him. Did y'all get that? He's talking about the Lord, verse number 1. Who shall believe our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? And he says in verse 2, for he, speaking of the Lord, capital L-O-R-D, God, right?
Yeah.
Every time you see the L-O-R-D capitalized in the Bible, speaking of Jehovah, the arm of the Lord, who is it revealed to? For he, speaking of the Lord, shall grow up before him. So you're saying, Isaiah said that God himself, the Lord, is going to grow up before himself. That make you want to bang your head against the wall, don't it? That's the greatest thing I've ever heard. How is somebody going to grow up before themselves? Well, that's God. And God, the Bible says, came to this earth, hallelujah,
amen,
and dwelt among us. Amen. And he came as a babe, born of a virgin. So him, the he, verse number 2, being God, shall grow up before him, is Jesus Christ himself growed up before God the Father. That's what he's speaking of. And Isaiah said, who's going to believe this report? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, as a root out of a dry ground. He hath no form of comeliness. Jesus Christ didn't come to this earth as a king. He came in humility as a babe in a manger.
Right.
Amen. The Messiah wasn't exposed as royalty. He came in humanity. Amen. He wasn't exposed as deity. He came in humility. Yeah. And Isaiah said, who's going to believe this? You're telling us to go tell this story that there's a Messiah that's coming to redeem mankind, but he has no form of comeliness. There's nothing to look at him to be desired. If you look at him, he's just like everybody else. That's because he came in humanity. Hallelujah. There's no form nor comeliness when we shall see him. There's no beauty that we should desire. Can I explain that real quickly? You know why God Jehovah sent Jesus Christ in humanity, where there's no comeliness and there's no desire, no beauty that we should, you know why that is? So mankind wouldn't make images of him. They wouldn't try to put him on pedestals and make statues of him and try to build him up, amen, and worship him as a statue, as an idol. That's why he was not brought in that way, amen, because God chose him that way. Let me say this too. The scripture says he has no form nor comeliness. And when we see him, shall see him, there's no beauty that we should desire him. So, whenever man tries to make pictures of the Lord, that's man's idea of what man thinks he looks like.
Mm-hmm.
Amen?
Right.
And so therefore we don't put those pictures up. Amen? Mm-hmm. Because there's no desire of him. When you look at him, amen, he was just a lowly servant. He's despised, rejected the men, a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief, and we hid him as it were our faces, from him. He was despised and esteemed, and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs, he carried our sorrows, yet we did not esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities, and the chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we were healed. He was talking about the Lord Jesus Christ and how he died for our sins.
Amen.
He came into his own, the Bible said, and the own received him not. He came to the Jews. He came to Israel. He came to his own people, yet his own people refused him not. Mm-hmm. Why is that? Because there was no golden image. There was nothing to gawk at. There was no royalty to be fond of and say, oh, this is our king. They was looking for glamour. Wasn't there. Amen. But, Isaiah said, but he was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquities, and the chastisement of our peace was upon him. With his stripes we're healed. But that's healed in salvation, not healed in sickness. Make sure we understand that. All we like seem to have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all.
Amen.
That's hard to believe. Isaiah said himself, it's hard to believe that we're going to tell the world that we have a Messiah who's died for our sins, and all of us are like sheep that's gone astray. We need a leader. We need somebody. Amen.
Amen.
We're all like sheep that's gone astray, And we've turned every one of us into our own way. We're not doing what's right. We're going into the ways of our wickedness and the ways of man, and it's the wrong way. And the Lord, capital L-O-R-D, Jehovah God, has laid upon this Messiah the iniquity of all of us. All of our sins is laid on one individual, and he's going to die for those sins and take them away.
Amen.
Who's going to believe that? Who's going to believe our report? He was opposed and he was afflicted. Yet he opened not his mouth. He was called as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before his shears is dumb. So he opened not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment. And who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off out of the land of the living. For the transgression of my people was he stricken. He was killed. That word cut off means he was killed. He wasn't a martyr, amen. He was killed. He was crucified from the very ones that he came to save. They crucified him. And he made his grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death, because he had done no violence, neither was there any deceit in his mouth. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him, and to put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. Isaiah's report, verse number 11, he shall see of the travail of his soul, and shall be satisfied. You'll get that? Isaiah reported, he shall see the travail of his soul. There's that he and his again. That he is God, shall see the travail of his Christ, soul, and be satisfied. It was finished, hallelujah,
amen,
on the cross of Calvary,
amen,
because Jehovah was satisfied,
amen,
with Christ's work.
Amen.
Amen. By his, I'm about ready to preach. I'm trying to code it because it's that far. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. Hallelujah.
Amen.
By the righteousness of Christ. Amen. By the righteousness of Christ tonight, you and I are justified. Not because of our good deeds, not because of our good merits, but because of the righteousness of Christ has been given to you and I, imputed upon us. Amen. What a blessing. For he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore I will divide him a portion with the great, he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he hath poured out his soul unto death, and was numbered with the transgressors, and he bare the sin of many, and made intercession for the transgression. That's the report that Isaiah gives, and he asks the Lord, who's going to believe me? Lord, I'm telling you that that's a hard thing to share this, because he came into his own believing in mind. And then we have the commission in the New Testament to go into every world to share the gospel. And so, as you go back to the book of Romans quickly, you go back to the book of Romans, and Paul is writing, and says, it was said of Isaiah, Lord, who shall believe our report? And he shared the same thing, and he says, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Who's going to believe this? In verse number 16, verse number 13, it says, for whosoever, amen, for whosoever, anybody that will hear, that will listen, but what saith it? Verse number 8, watch this. Hold on. I'm almost to the post. Verse number 8, the Bible says, the word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. So every time you and I go out to share someone this report about a Savior, about a place called hell that is real, about a place called heaven that is real, about the good news of the gospel, Every time you and I go out to share that with someone, it is nigh in their heart. God has placed that in every person that's ever born. The Word of God and the truth of God is in their heart. Everybody that's ever been born knows there is a God. Amen. It's in their heart. And that Word, when you begin to preach that or tell that Word, it burns within them. What happens is most of the time is they reject that. They refuse that. The Israelites did that very same thing whenever Jesus Christ came to them and they rejected Him. They knew that was real. They knew there was a Messiah. They knew that He was coming. It had been prophesied for many years that the Messiah was coming. And when He gets there, they refuse Him. You and I, as we share the gospel to lost people, they know in their hearts, the Bible says, the Word of God says, that the Word is nigh unto them. God's put it in their heart to know there's a God. He has the Word. They know that's truth. It's in everyone's heart. Amen? And so the Bible says it's in their mouth, it's in their heart. That is the Word of faith which we preach. So every time we share the good news of the gospel with them, or try to talk to them about the Lord, the Holy Spirit is already doing His job. Amen? And we do our job as to be a second witness, if you will. The Word's the first witness, and we are the second witness. God has put it in their heart. They know that it's real. They know there's a God. They know there's a hell. They know there's a heaven. They've heard that. They know that. Many times they reject that. And you and I are a second witness to that report. Who's going to believe our report? Whosoever will.
Amen.
Whosoever will be wise enough. Amen. Be smart enough to listen and to hear by faith. Notice the word of faith which we preach, that thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, and thou shalt be saved. You know, a preacher does not have to stand in the pulpit. I don't have to stand in this pulpit and preach that you're going to die and go to hell. Amen. I don't have to do that. I don't have to stand in, now don't misunderstand me now, just stay with me. I don't have to stand here and preach that you're going to die and go to hell if you don't accept Jesus Christ as your Savior. I don't have to preach that. All I have to preach is the good news of the gospel. They already know it's in their hearts. Amen? And they're sitting in the house of God, the Holy Spirit's already convicted them, and they realize they've not accepted Jesus Christ. They realize they're on the road to hell. Amen? They know that. So, listen, we don't have to get up here and browbeat people. Amen? Y'all with me? Amen? You don't have to do that whenever you're trying to witness them. You don't have to browbeat them. So, if you don't go to church, you're going to die to hell. You don't have to do that. It's already in their heart. They know that there's a God. They know these things. And so it's by faith that they just believe it. Amen? How are we saved? We're saved by what we believe. Amen? If they reject that, they don't believe that, they don't believe the report. Thou shalt confess with thy mouth, Lord Jesus. Thou shalt believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead. Thou shalt be saved. For with the heart, man believeth unto righteousness. And with the mouth, confession is made. That's why I want someone to get saved. It's biblical to announce that. Amen? It's biblical to tell. Hey, guess what happened to me? I believe the report. Hallelujah. I got saved. Amen? So with the mouth, confession is made. Those that say silently that salvation is a personal matter, we don't want somebody to know, you're out of the Bible. Amen? You're not biblical. And it's a good possibility you're probably not saved. Oh, preacher, you're so hard. No, I'm biblical. Amen. If you're saved, you'll want to tell it.
Yeah.
God's already put it in their heart, and the only second witness that they can have that's false is from you and I that have it. Amen. That we believe it, we know it's real, and so we're the second witness. Amen.
Amen.
For the Scripture says, whosoever believes on him shall not be ashamed. There it is. That's biblical. Amen. Mm-hmm. Tell it. Amen. Tell it. God's already put it in their heart. God's already prepping them. Cross paths with someone, if you're at work, if you're at the Walmart or wherever, your grocery store, and someone says something to you about church or about the Lord, that's a wide open door. God's done prepped them, prepared them.
Amen.
Let them. Amen. Just preach to them. Tell them the gospel. I'm so glad I got saved. Hallelujah. And you ain't got to tell everything about the Bible. You ain't got to use the Bible to preach to them. Just tell them your testimony.
But I was there at church one Sunday morning, and the Holy Ghost convicted my heart that I fell on the altar and asked God to save me. Ever since that day, I've not been ashamed or the same. Amen. What a testimony. Amen. Just share your testimony with them. Amen. Let us stir them up. They already know in their heart. You're a second witness. Amen. Let me give you a fair warning tonight. I don't mean to end this on a bad note. I'm not trying to, but let me give you a fair warning before the scripture. There's a third witness. And that third witness is circumstances. Once the Word of God's done its part, once the child of God's done their part in testifying and giving a testimony, then there comes the working of circumstances. People get saved three ways. They get saved by hearing the Word of God. Don't misunderstand that statement. Faith comes by hearing, hear by the Word of God. You don't get saved by what you believe. You don't get saved through hearing the Word of God. But many people reject the Word of God. And then they hear the second way that they can get saved is hearing the testimony of a child. Well, they've heard the Scripture. They heard the Word of God. And then they hear testimony from a child. A lot of people got saved by hearing someone else's testimony. What the Lord did for them, they heard their heart. They heard the Gospel. They heard the Word. And they heard the testimony. They begin to think about it. So that is two ways that people get saved. Then there's the third way. And it's usually the way people come in. And that's circumstances. And that's usually not the best way.
Amen.
Because people get hurt. Mm-hmm. People have accidents. A lot of bad things happen in people's lives. And then they realize, boy, I've made a bunch of mistakes. And then they say, hey, maybe that testimony that child of God shared with me, maybe I would pay a little bit better attention to. Maybe I ought to listen to the Word of God. Y'all with me? And so they get saved either by the Word of God, by the testimony of the child of God, or by circumstances. And it is our duty, our responsibility, is to share that report. Tell them about the good news of the gospel, share with them, so they don't have to face those circumstances. Amen? And if they reject it, that's on them, that's not on us. Scripture teaches we thus repeat all. Amen? We do our part. Who shall believe our report? Red, yellow, black, or white. Whosoever. Whosoever.
Amen.
Amen. It's in their heart. They know it's nigh in their heart. Amen. Nigh to them. The Word of God is nigh to their mouth, nigh to their heart. They know that it's real. They know that it's of God. God's already put that in their heart. And so whenever we share with them the good news of the gospel, you'd be surprised when you start talking to somebody. You'd think, boy, that person right there won't hear a word I've got to say. I'm talking to some rough-looking characters. I'm thinking my knees are knocking and I'm about scared to death. I'd walk up there and knock on that door and talk to them. But you'd be surprised the teddy bears would come out of them. Start talking about the Lord before they're hungry right now. And a lot of them don't. Some of them say, Lord, you guys, but you just go on and worry about that. Listen, this is our duty, amen. Share that report. I just want to share that with you tonight. I know it's kind of breeze through it, I guess, or speed through it, whatever. But anyway, share that report, amen. Who's going to believe it? Well, they won't ever believe it if you don't ever share it. It's our duty to share it, amen. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord. I want to share this with you tonight, too. If you don't know how to take the Bible and teach somebody, show somebody how to be saved, please come talk to me. Because whenever the church starts to grow, people start falling on the altar, I can't get to everybody all at one time, amen. And the Lord does the work, we all know that. But they may need somebody to pray with them. They come up here and say, hey, I'm lost, I need to be saved, what do I do to be saved? If you don't know how to do that, if you don't know how to deal with it, don't know what to do, please come talk to me. Amen? And we'll make sure that we have that worked out, settled, whatever. And if you don't like to talk to people and people make you nervous, then don't ever use your phone again. Don't ever go to Walmart and talk to anybody. Amen. Have a good time tonight, amen. People tell me they do this preacher, I just can't talk to people. I seen you talking to several before coming to church. I seen you talking to several out there in the foyer, you know. But I just can't talk to people. You can talk to me when it comes to their soul. It's important. It's a life-changing situation. Amen. It's vitally important that we know how to do that. Amen. And so, you know, if you get nervous talking to people, I'll give you some pointers and things to help you. But I want to make sure that everybody knows how to take your Bible and show somebody how they can know for sure when you're on the shelf of that they can be saved. 1 John chapter number 5 has the we knows. 1 John, amen. We know that we're saved because these things are written. That we can know that, amen. Don't have to guess, don't have to suggest. We can know it. And we can teach them how they can, amen.